Brett Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Well, welcome to Clinching Day, hopefully. If not, tomorrow. Hey, let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort, is back. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And you can also watch us on the Twitch channel. Just go to ESPN975. .com, click on watch us on Twitch, or if you're on Twitch, go to ESPN975.com and you can see our smiling faces as we get ready for a Tuesday show. What's happening, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
A lot of sports.
It's a big day for that, I hear.
Yeah. especially here in the city of Houston.
Yeah, we got a thing going, huh?
It seems to be, yeah. There's some kind of game going on.
That's excitement, Fred.
I tell you what. A lot of excitement around the city over this. So hopefully it ends well.
Because as they say, all's well that ends well.
They say that?
Yeah, I've heard.
Oh, okay.
I've heard such a thing said.
All right. Well,
I don't know what it means, but I've heard it.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I don't know. I think it means that as long as it ends well,
then everything's okay.
And nothing, like how you got there, doesn't really matter. You know what I mean?
I suppose.
I don't know. That might be made up.
Yeah, I that's just one of those phrases that when I hear it, I go, okay, what does that really mean?
Yeah.
So I have an Astros win column ready to go tonight, and I have an Astros lose column ready to go Wednesday. Just depends on how it goes.
Yeah.
Obviously, I have to update with some things from the game, but for the most part, it'll be up right after the game, one way or the other.
So here's where I'm at. I think now if you can get do you think it's reasonable to think that the Astros could lose tonight?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think they will. I think they're going to pull it off tonight, but you're getting a plus number on Strasburg.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not playing it, but I think if you're an Astros fan and you want to feel better about life, should your team lose, that might be the way to go.
Well, let me tell you maybe a better way to go. And like you said, if you just want to feel good about life at the end of the day, here's where you're at now. The price that you're getting on the series currently is about plus 600. The Astros are a minus 800 favorite. Nationals are plus 600 for the series. Now we're going to go into some quick math.
Okay, I like math. 1 + 1 =
So, well, 4. Not quite that simple,
oh,
but
okay.
not too far off. Current game 6 price is plus 160. So, if you're looking at a series price of plus 600, you're talking about implied money line odds for game 7 being plus 175. I'm just going to tell you now, that's not going to happen, because from what it looks like, Max Scherzer is going to pitch in Game 7. The Astros won't be a massive favorite in that Game 7 if Max Scherzer were to pitch. And he was throwing today. Did you see him throwing?
Yeah.
It looks like he can pitch a baseball. I'm not a doctor, but it looks like he can pitch a baseball. My guess is, I don't know if that suddenly the Nationals are favored in that game with Scherzer going against Greinke.
No, but if they win tonight, then
it's probably a coin flip.
Well, and you know the instant reaction to it is going to be, oh, well, it's game 7 and they've won all 3 on the road. Then it's probably going to be pretty close to even.
So what you could do is, if you buy that series price at plus 600. This is all assuming you believe the Nationals win tonight. You buy that series ticket at plus 600, and you can hedge out in game seven at minus 150 or 125 or whatever the Astros are. And I really think it might be a coin flip. You'll still have a healthy profit from a healthier profit. It'd be probably more like you're getting plus 350 or 450 tonight rather than plus 165, 160. You see the math I did there for you?
Yeah.
Okay. That probably sounds really complicated. In my head, it seems really simple.
Well, it is simple. Just tell them to bet the series.
Bet the series. If you think the Astros or if you think the Nationals win tonight, bet the whole series. And then if you think the Astros are going to win tomorrow, hedge out on the Astros tomorrow. And what's left over from that series ticket is basically your profit on tonight's game.
There you go.
Ta-da.
Very simple.
Yeah.
So you're doing that.
I don't know. I'm trying my best not to bet baseball because it's stupid, and I know it's stupid, and I keep finding myself wanting to do it, and I'm doing all this research on like what the best way to approach it. So I don't know. I probably won't because I still think the Astros win the World Series. Although, if it goes to a game seven and Scherzer is pitching, doesn't it feel like that would be a dynasty type moment? Like it's the destiny for that to happen, for Scherzer to go out and be Kirk Gibson, basically. Isn't that kind of like the feel you would get?
Yeah, although I still think there's a 50-50 chance he goes out there, and when you start trying
could
to throw,
happen.
Especially
Absolutely.
As much effort as he puts into throwing the baseball, I could see him ripping into his neck half an inning in.
Certainly.
And then you're throwing Patrick Corbin's and Sanchez out there and guys
so
like
crazy.
That. I actually feel like the Astros are going to finish it off tonight. I think Verlander's going to show up. He's going to get out of the first inning without getting beat up. And, you know, Strasburg's definitely a tough out. But I think they get enough off of him and they get it done.
Okay.
And what I hope is that everybody celebrates responsibly. And we don't tear up the city, which is not something I was worried about 2 years ago. But I got to tell you, some of the fan stories you hear now about Houston fans, not good. See the guy who punched a Pelicans assistant
at
the Rockets
game?
What's
going on with that?
Then you had the old dude who slapped the Yankees fan. There's always a fight at Texans games. Just
calm down, boys.
Yeah, everybody relax and enjoy. If they win,
enjoy the sports match.
Enjoy responsibly. Party like hell, but enjoy responsibly.
Enjoy responsibly.
And
that's a commercial, I think.
Is it?
I think so.
Well, I think they say that about a lot of things.
Boy, is it cold in here?
You know what? It was really hot when we first got in here, and then the thing kicked on.
Crazy.
Yeah. That's all right. It'll get you ready for London.
Yeah, I guess so.
Or tomorrow here. Apparently, it's getting cold here again.
My wife traveled today, or she was supposed to already be on a flight today, and the weather delayed her plane. Which, if she were to get on a later flight, it would not land until 8:35 in Newark, which was where she was going tonight.
Which wouldn't have gotten her on the plane.
The flight from Newark to Edinburgh, which is where she's going, takes off at 8:05. So she would have missed that by 30 minutes. And now, instead of flying to Newark, she is flying direct from Houston to Frankfurt, Germany, where she'll spend 5 hours, and then she'll fly to Edinburgh after that.
There's worse places to be.
Yeah, that's what I said. She's taking it in stride. Like she had this tour scheduled for tomorrow, which she got in contact with them, and they rescheduled it for the next day. So she's happy about that. And now she gets to spend 5 hours in Germany. I think they let you leave the airport. There's like a train system right around there. It's like a big hub airport in Europe, I guess. And she's looking forward to getting some good authentic German food.
German beer.
Well, yeah, she doesn't care about that. But maybe she'll get me some. And that's what's important.
Oh, yeah. That's all that matters, yeah. Right?
So, the weather here is throwing things off. And I don't think it's going to get much better in friggin' Europe.
Thanks, Fred. You just jinxed us tonight. Guys, get off the jinx stuff. Nothing we say has any impact on how the game goes. Just like what shirt you wear or what underwear you wear that you haven't washed because you're wearing the same ones. It has no impact on the game. So I said, can we call for everyone in the stadium to go topless in the seventh for breast cancer? No, you can't do that.
I mean, that'd be pretty cool if they did.
I'm for, but do we want to get everybody banned for baseball for life?
Well, seats will be cheaper next year.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, well, there is that. Well, I just hope they get it done. Hockley Dan on the Twitch asked what kind of alcohol is on the desk, Fred. That is Whitmire's.
Whitmire's.
We've got their new blended rye and bourbon, which is, I haven't tried it yet, but it's brand new. And I've got their plain rye whiskey, which I'm going to give to AJ, but I want to try it first. So, and we're going to do some really exciting stuff with them. Circle November 14th on your calendar. Can't talk about it until we get everything signed, but we got something really exciting coming with those guys. So, yeah, I can't wait to try this stuff and let you know how it tastes. I'm sure it's going to be amazing because everything they do is amazing.
There you go.
713-780-ESPN. If you want to get in today, we'll be happy to take some calls and you can text. You can do whatever you want. Did you watch any of that? There were two games last night. There was a Rockets game.
I watched a little bit of both.
What were your thoughts on that, on the Rockets?
On the Rockets? The announced team was really high on James Harden's performance, which everything I saw of James Harden's performance, really solid at the free throw line. Besides that, yeah, not great. They called him the player of the game.
Really?
Yeah. I mean...
I didn't have the volume up, so I can't comment on that.
I think that...
Because I had to... And it's not their fault. I had to mute Booger, and so I was flipping back and forth. So
this might... I don't know. This might be unpopular opinion. It might not be. So far, through three games, I feel like Russell Westbrook's the best player on the team. And maybe, again, it's a small sample size, but James Harden is not playing good basketball, right? He's not shooting well at all, and particularly from three. I mean, it's kind of ugly. Currently 28.6% from the field, 15% from three. That's not ideal. 6 of 40 from 3-point land. Maybe just don't shoot 40 then. But 18 of 63 from the field is also alarming. And he's averaging over 6 turnovers a game. I mean, it's 6.3 turnovers per game. Like I said, been super solid from the free throw line. You know, 96% from the free throw line. That's pretty great. But to me, Russell Westbrook is kind of carrying this team, and he's the energy guy. You see it on the defensive end, the difference. I mean, I don't think Russell Westbrook's a great defender, but he gives great effort on that end, and it's noticeable. And there was a play last night where James Harden kind of, I don't want to say he flopped because he didn't, like, fall down.
No, he flopped. You could say he flopped. I know which play you're talking about. Yeah.
And got an offensive foul called where – if he wouldn't have gotten that call, it's like a walk-in layup. Like, he basically threw his hands up, quit defending, and just prayed that the whistle got blown. And, I mean, it did, but that's probably a 50-50 call. It wasn't egregious by any stretch. And if it doesn't call, you basically just shut everything down and let that guy have a layup. It's frustrating for me. And, me being frustrated with James Harden's game is nothing new. He's still putting up 29 points per game, and people are going to look at that on the surface and go, MVP, bro. And I'm watching these games. I'm going,
It's, but you know what? It's three games.
He
goes through stretches like this, and right when you get concerned, he'll have a game where he actually shoots a good percentage and looks great. They'll get it together.
I don't want to be all doom and gloom because I have been impressed with what I've seen out of Russ. And
I think once they figure out how to make it work with those two, I think the potential is there for them to be a really exciting team. It's just not there yet. It wasn't much fun to watch last night.
No.
And that's, I'm hopeful that at some point they'll get all that together. But three games. All right. Well, you heard AJ break down all the possibilities for you on how you want to bet the series and everything. Well, you know where to go and bet it. MyBookie. MyBookie.ag. That's the place to go. It's time to bet, win, and get paid. And they've got, if you happen to get a late start and don't get your bet down when the game starts, they've got in-game. How about that? And the best part is you win, nobody pays out faster. You get your cash when you want it. And there's all kinds of other great things on there. You got hockey, which I have a little couple plays for you later in the week. You know, you want to bet football, got that. You want to bet college football, NFL, whatever. You want to bet the Breeders' Cup this weekend, they've got that. And if you sign up today, they're going to double your first deposit, up to $1,000. And they've got all kinds of deposit options for you, so make sure you check them all out. But you have to use promo code RADIO to get that exclusive double your money offer. It's mybookie.ag, promo code RADIO. And if you're already signed up, keep an eye on your email. They have all kinds of options for you all the time for reload and everything else. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz.
Smells boozy in here.
It does. The I just tried their rye for the first time. That's outstanding.
I'm a rye man.
I know. And then you have the rye bourbon combo.
Blend, we like to call it.
Which is, I haven't tried yet, but I will after I try this. Because I wanted to, you know, I wanted to try the rye and then give you that bottle. And then I was going to keep this bottle, but I was going to let everybody else try that. So,
all right.
So far, so good. Aaron's got one. We'll have to get his take on it in just a moment. Any thoughts on the football last night?
About what you could have expected. I mean, I would say the Dolphins came out stronger than you would have thought. But Steelers weathered the storm, came back, won convincingly. Dolphins still covered. It went about the way I thought it would have gone.
I did the stupid thing I tell people to never do when I've had a really bad week. Unloaded on the Dolphins plus 14 and a half. It got outside of 14. I felt really good early. And a little bit of a sweat.
Yeah. I mean, luckily the Steelers were playing at that point. They were playing to win the game, not to cover the game. Which, I mean, for you, when you've got the dog, that's very kind of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all you want. I needed a break, so. But yeah, that really ugly football. And then the trade deadline comes and goes today.
Not much. What I expected.
Yeah, all those names that were being thrown out, nothing happens.
Yeah, and like the Jamal Adams thing. Well, I mean, I guess Aqib Talib gets traded. Because I heard people instantly jump out. Well, why aren't the Texans in on Talib? Well, Talib's on IR, and he can't come back until week 15.
Right.
Basically, it was a salary dump by the Rams, so they could afford to re-sign Jalen Ramsey. The reason why they gave Talib and a fifth rounder is because that was the incentive for the Dolphins to take Talib.
Yeah.
My guess is Talib never plays a game for the Miami Dolphins. So essentially what they did is they bought the fifth round pick from the Miami or from the Rams.
Yeah.
The Dolphins did. So they're not looking at Talib as a guy who can help their team. This was simply we'd like a pick. We'd like some cap relief. Okay, here's how we can make it happen. And it worked both ways. But the Texans would have never been in on a guy like that because, yeah. I mean, it wouldn't have made sense for the Texans.
Yeah, because by the time he could play, I don't know that it would have
He's
mattered.
Not helping you.
And at that point, Jamal Adams
noise was nice. And the Jets all of a sudden seemed like the Jets and, well, I don't know, maybe they're the same because nothing got moved. But the Jets were basically like, you want Jamal Adams? Come get him. You want Le'Veon Bell? Come get him. You want Robbie Anderson? Come get him. Meanwhile, the Bengals, who are worse than the Jets, are like, we're not trading anybody. Oh, you want A.J. Green? Too bad. We're going to let him not re-sign here in the offseason, fair and square. I mean, they're just like shutting people down first discussion. They don't want to talk about anybody. Just a sort of a weird thing for a team that's obviously playing for nothing to just be like, no, we're not trading any of our veteran guys. That's odd.
Yeah, and if you're going to bench Andy Dalton, he might be a decent backup for somebody. You could have moved him.
Yeah.
And they did bench Andy Dalton today on his birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday. Yeah.
But if you're the Jets, the whole Adams thing just doesn't make any sense. I mean, you've got to have – it's kind of how I felt about the Dolphins trading Tunsil and Minkah Fitzpatrick. I mean, it's yeah, they got a bunch of first-round picks for him, but aren't you going to try to use those first-round picks to replace guys like that who are young, who should still be there in 3 or 4 years? And that's the thing with a guy like Jamal Adams. Okay, you get a first-round pick. Are you going to get another Jamal Adams?
Yeah.
And I don't think so. That guy's a player. So.
And then there were guys who were widely available, like Josh Norman.
Yeah.
That people are like, nah, bro, we're good. Oh, he's making how much? $12 million next year? We'll pass. So they would have loved to move him, but it just wasn't going to happen, which is kind of what I think the Jets were doing with Le'Veon. There weren't a lot of teams willing to pay Le'Veon what the Jets paid him in the offseason. Why would they pay him now?
Yeah.
It's a really odd thing, but there were some things that struck me as weird, like the Chris Harris, which apparently the Broncos' asking price was just really high.
Well, for a guy, Chris Harris. For a guy you're not going to be able to re-sign in the offseason, or you should have taken something for him.
They apparently were approached about Von Miller, and with Von Miller, they said, we've got no interest in trading Von Miller. So
I don't blame him for that.
I don't either.
It kind of goes back to what I was talking about with Jamal Adams.
So
why would you trade a guy like that?
It wouldn't make a lot of sense to me. The guy that I'm surprised didn't get moved was Melvin Gordon, who, I mean, the Chargers have no incentive to keep him. Obviously, yeah,
they've been better without him.
They really have, and obviously they're not going to pay him long term. So what are you doing? You know, and there's other moves. I didn't understand the Cardinals not being interested in trading Patrick Peterson, a guy you could have gotten. You could have gotten a real valuable commodity.
You could have gotten a Jalen Ramsey haul for him. I think
probably could have.
And you know I think the problem is though a lot of the teams that would be in on guys like that have already traded some draft capital. You know, the difference would be the Ravens. I know the Ravens were really trying to make a deal with the Jets. That didn't work out. But you know, not a lot of teams. Like, the Rams have traded their picks if they were going to be in. The Saints traded their picks in the past.
Right.
We obviously know what the Texans did. So I think to get that kind of haul, you've got to get a team that's good enough to win, and there's just not that many of them.
Maybe if from a Texans perspective, the most frustrating thing that came out today was the Redskins now – say, all we want for Trent Williams is a first round pick. Well, had you done that, you know, 2 months ago, that could have saved the Texans a first and a second rounder.
Well, even not that, you would have gotten a first from them. You would have gotten a first from the Browns when they still thought
Almost
they were going
to
be
anybody
good.
Anybody would have given up just a first for him, but you tried to play it cool and be like, oh, we're not trading him. And now it's like, yeah, we just want a first round pick. Well, now, nobody's trading a first-round pick for half a season of a guy unless they're going to pay him long-term. But then, you know, why not just wait and see if you can throw the bunny at him without giving up your first-rounder?
Exactly. That's one we're sitting around waiting wound up costing you.
I really think it did. But it sucks for the Texans because if the Redskins would have taken a first-round pick for him 2 months ago, 3 months ago, the Texans would still have one of those first-rounders and a second-rounder in their pocket.
Yeah, I still don't know that long-term. I don't like having Tunsil better, though, and especially knowing the way the Texans draft. I mean, what are you going to draft, another Kevin Johnson and Will Fuller? Is that what those picks are going to be?
I don't know, but what I do know is right now, Trent Williams, last we saw Trent Williams, he's a better player than Laremy Tunsil.
He wasn't when he got hurt last year. He was really struggling.
Well, when he got hurt.
No, before he got hurt, he was
struggling.
What's
Laremy Tunsil doing this year? He's kind of struggling.
He's been functional. I mean,
he leads the league in penalties.
He leads the league in false starts.
He leads the league in pre-snap penalties.
But he's also really improved the pass blocking on that side, the run blocking. I mean, you know, and he's younger. I'll take him over Trent Williams any day of the week. And plus, I don't know how healthy Williams is going to be. That was part of the whole problem. So he's got this weird thing that they didn't diagnose. And, yeah, is their offensive line trash without him? Absolutely. But let's see what he does before we start anointing him this great player that would have made all the difference in the world. 713-780-ESPN.
I mean, this is a dude who's been an all-pro. He's been to a Pro Bowl basically every year of his career. He's an established guy.
He's also had a lot of injury problems.
Yeah.
So, and you've got enough of those. You got J.J. Watt, who gets hurt every time somebody breathes on him. You got Fuller, who disappears with a hamstring at least twice a year. And you got enough guys who are injury prone. And Titus Howard, congratulations, first year.
Yeah. Well, and so. I mean, I don't know that this latest quote fingers injury, which was like some sort of weird growth on his head, I don't know that it's something that I would worry about affecting him long term as a football player. You know, it's not like it's his elbows or his knees. Yeah, because
football
like
players
that.
Never get hit in the head.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's
come on. Yeah. Okay.
What do we have
you
here?
Have TGS.
Aaron? TGS Insurance. That's what I was hoping you'd say. I really want to tell you guys about TGS Insurance because you know why? I really want to save you guys some money. And TGS, what they do is if you are a homeowner, they're going to try to save you money. I don't know what you're paying for your home insurance policy. Hell, I didn't know what I was paying for my home insurance policy. But I figured it out, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper. And then I texted TGS, and they sent me back a quote. And within 15 seconds, by the way, super quick quote, had all the coverage, and I saved a good amount of money. I saved over $1,000. It's so simple. Text the word money to 232323. System will ask for your address. You reply back, you'll get a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. The average customer is saving $870 this year on their home insurance. And they're going to take care of the back end, all the nonsense, all the paperwork, all the hassle. You don't have to deal with it. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote. Start seeing how you could save today with TGS Insurance.
And we're back on the Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number if you wish to get in. On a Tuesday. So, a clinching Tuesday for the Astros.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a 4-1 game. Okay. And Verlander's going to come out there and pitch really well. He'll give up a solo homer in the fifth inning to somebody because he does that pretty much all the time, even when he's pitching well. Astros will get a couple runs off Strasburg. They'll get a couple more off the bullpen. And it'll be somebody we're not expecting gets one 2-run homer. I'm going to call Josh Reddick.
Oh, okay.
Who's hitting ninth tonight.
Okay. Josh Reddick to hit a 2-run homer off Strasburg?
Not off Strasburg. Well, whoever he can close his eyes and swing and hope against.
Okay.
I mean, because that's what it's going to be, right? Because he hasn't been close to anything.
Let me see this first five number here. Plus 135?
For
first five innings?
For Washington?
For Washington, yeah.
I don't mind that.
Because I think if the Astros win tonight, I think it's off the bullpen.
I mean, to me, it comes down to what does Verlander do in the first inning? I mean, he's given up 9 runs in the first inning in the postseason. If he comes up and gives up 3 or 4 again, then...
But also, the Astros have done, it seems like, 90% of their damage in the first innings. So,
yeah.
It's sword cut, but cuts both ways.
I don't know. Don't try to talk me into betting the
game. I'm not betting it. I'm staying away from it, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's tempting, but I just want to see him win.
I do too.
And I don't really want to have to sit there and go, oh, man, I hope I get my first five innings bet home here. Because then you got to sweat the rest of the game.
Because then you look like Garrett Cole on Bregman's Grand Slam.
Exactly.
Like, Garrett Cole, for whatever reason, looked like he was disgusted. Blown. That's what I think it was. But, Justin Verlander's jumping up and down, and Garrett Cole's like, damn it.
I would really like to know what that was about.
Who knows? Who knows? But that was an odd look, certainly.
Yeah, it was funny though. I mean, maybe I can't even imagine what he was thinking. But it's really interesting to me. Do you think? Maybe it was just the pressure playing at home. That's why the Nationals couldn't hit, that maybe they'll be okay.
I don't know. I can't imagine you're feeling. To me, the Nationals should have gone into game three with almost no pressure because you go into that World Series hoping that you can win one of two in Houston. They won both of them. There should have been zero pressure on them to do anything. They should have been fun and loose. Which is why after two games, you had to think, man, the Nationals are the team here because they're the team that's having fun. They're the team that's loose. The Astros were not loose. They were clearly tight. And the tables have completely turned. So I don't – it's hard for me to say they had pressure being at home because they should have had no pressure going into their home series.
But we said this the other day. As soon as the Astros won that game, everything flipped. Then they played tight that whole all three of those games. And you just wonder if maybe now that they've lost three in a row, maybe they do play loose and just maybe say, hey, we got nothing to lose here. Let's go out
there.
Well,
you really don't at this point.
Well, you got a World Series to lose. But, yeah, I mean, I think at this point, you got your best guy on the mound. It looks like you'll have your other best guy for a Game 7. You just go out there and, you know, play loose.
Yep.
Max said, I think that cold face was him knowing the game was over and he was now free to enter his kill mode.
I mean, he was going to pitch the next day anyway.
Yeah, he was going to be in kill mode either way.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's going to be interesting to me. You need Verlander to get through that first inning and not, you know, and I mean, it's been a struggle all postseason. So it's not like I'm saying anything that nobody else has thought of. He's got to get through that first inning. And if he does, I think that if they can do what they did to Strasburg the first time, which is force him to throw a lot of pitches, get a lot of 3-2 counts, and yeah, you know, I think at some point the bats have been – it's been really interesting because they haven't really hit the way you would expect them to, but there's always been somebody different coming up with a big hit, and I think that's what's going to happen tonight. I think they'll be – and you're not going to need a lot. I think you can get a couple runs off of him, then you get into their bullpen for a couple. I think Verlander will keep it under 4, and I think that's the number.
Okay.
And I also think you could get into that. You might start – you might even do an 8-1 kind of thing. You might even
– You think they'll blow them out?
I've blown them out basically 2 games in a row.
Well, that's Joe Ross and Tyler Corbin.
Doesn't matter if once you get Strasburg out of there, if he's given up a couple runs.
Yeah.
So, I think it's I hope they get it done tonight, mainly because it kind of sucks having to devote 5.5 hours of your evening to a game every night. That gets old, especially when you're drinking every game.
I will say this. It is – when you look at Strasburg, what he's done in this postseason, and you see 4-0 with a 1.93 ERA, 40 strikeouts, 2 walks.
Yeah, that's the number that really stands out.
I mean, that's a cartoon number.
Yeah.
2 walks, 40 strikeouts. I mean, that doesn't happen in real life. And so you can say, well, is that even feasible to think that he can maintain that? Or is it, I mean, this dude's just, he's peaking at the right time. He's throwing his best ball of the year, which, I mean, that you could make the argument for. He didn't even have his best stuff against the Astros in the first game, and they won 12-3. So,
yeah, but that was a little misleading. When he left the game, it was still a game, and the Astros were able to get 2 runs off of him. That's all you're going to need to get off him tonight, I think, because you'll get more off their bullpen. So, that's my bold prediction.
All right,
and if not, well, we'll have some other bold prediction tomorrow. Well,
Verlander can't give up 4 again.
No, and that's the thing. He's got to come out early and get his outs. If he does that, settles in, doesn't have a bad first inning, then I think that's going to be the most important part of the game. If he gets out of the first inning with no damage, then I think he'll settle in just fine. And all he has to do is keep him within shouting distance until the bullpen gets there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and he got to the 7th inning having given up only 2 runs in the first game.
Yeah.
And then floodgates kind of opened on him. And
that's the thing. I think if you're the Nationals, you hope you get 7 innings and 2 runs out of him.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're the Astros, you want to get his pitch count up and you want it to be 6 innings and get into that bullpen and do some more damage against them.
Well, you certainly feel better about Verlander with a high pitch count than you do Strasburg.
Yeah.
Because Verlander, that's what he's built to do. But I would think that at this point, I mean, we've seen his last 3 games, 105, 117, 114, they're not conserving him. And that was the 117, that was in the game against the Cardinals that they basically won in the first inning.
Yeah.
And it, you know, he struck out 12 guys in that game in 7 innings, and they still let him throw 117 pitches. So clearly he's feeling like he's good to go. And
you just wonder if all that adds up, though, at some point.
Yeah, maybe so. But, yeah. I mean, are you worried about Verlander's adding up?
Well, I kind of think we've already seen Verlander not being.
You think it's
best.
Already caught up to him?
Yeah. So, you know, that's the thing. But I also think I could still see him coming back with a good effort.
Well, and I talk about Game 7 and the likelihood now that I would expect to see Scherzer on the mound for Game 7. If it's a close game and it's time to take Strasburg out of the game, do you go directly to Scherzer? Because you can't worry tied, about what's going to happen tomorrow.
If it's tied or whatever, there is no tomorrow if you don't win. So, yeah, I would bring him in. And I think it's all hands on deck if you're the Nationals.
I think so, too.
And if Strasburg struggles at all, then you can't wait around. You really can't. And I don't think he will because he's that good. But, you know, these guys are pretty good at getting to good pitchers eventually. And this is the second time that they've seen him. And, you know, that tends to work in the Astros' favor.
Unless it's James Paxton.
Except for Paxton. That's the only time this postseason that it hasn't.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about Anna, who back in May, she worked at Walmart and she was not happy, not living her best life. And then she heard a commercial on the radio, and I don't want to brag and say it was me, but it was probably me, telling her, hey, you don't need any computer experience. Go to My Computer Career and see what they can do for you. 4 months later, guess what? She started her IT career. She got hired by a My Computer Career graduate, and now she's making some good money. She's enjoying life. Don't be afraid of the future, guys. Be a part of it. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take their free career evaluation today, and you could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. No computer experience or training needed. Helping people start from scratch. That's what they do. You'll attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week, and you're going to get everything you need to start your new career. And then they're going to help you get into the industry because they work with employers that hire their student. There's financial aid available. They're nationally accredited. Classes are starting soon. Go take that evaluation now today free at mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Interesting question from BQ. What are the odds of Texans versus Jag will have more viewers in tonight's series game? I think it's 100%.
Well, yeah, percent 1,000.
It's the Sunday night game crushed the World Series. And let's be honest, if it weren't the Astros, if this were Yankees and Nationals, would any of us be watching this over the Packers Chiefs?
No.
I certainly wouldn't.
No, so, I don't know that I'd have much interest at all in a World Series that didn't involve the Astros at this point.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, but that also tells you that. Well, I mean, I think if the Yankees were in it, there might be more national people watching, but it still wasn't going to beat the Chiefs Packers. In Texans Jags in that 8:30 slot.
Oh yeah,
that's
the only show in town.
Yeah,
come on, bro.
That's going to be. I think they'll do really well. So. Something that I've seen a lot of today, kind of want your opinion on.
Okay.
I think a lot of people want rid of the box on the TV thing that shows the strike zone.
Okay.
And most of it because the box doesn't really change.
It doesn't change with Altuve and Aaron Judge have the same box.
That sounds like they're Eskimo brothers. But it doesn't change for those guys. It doesn't change for anybody else. It's sometimes misleading, but it also, and that's when it sets Twitter off whenever it looks like something's outside there,
right,
outside the box. And does it really help the game? Do you really enjoy the game more when you see that? I mean, I'm all for technology.
I don't need it.
I like the first down line.
I just want a real robot ump. I don't need.
Well, you're going to get a robot ump at some point, and I'm team robot ump. I'm team robot everything. I'm team sex robot. But I do think that it creates controversy where there isn't necessarily controversy. I mean, you can tell if a pitch is out of the strike zone.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, that thing may be, you know, maybe one that looks like it's in the strike zone is a strike to Aaron Judge, that it's not to Jose Altuve because it's going to be at his neck.
Right.
And I kind of think there's something to it. I'm just kind of curious.
I mean, there's people who freak out when it's not there now. I don't really care if it's there or not. I can watch the game and I can tell if it's a ball or a strike. I don't need a magical box up there to tell me if it's a ball or a strike. But some people prefer it because they want that. They want something to look. And my son loves it. It makes him think he knows exactly what a ball or a strike is. And I'm like, Well, you realize some umps don't call it right there. Some umps will give you one corner and not the other. And it's just that he should know because that's how baseball works. But
yeah, but it makes it easy where you just sit there and go, oh, I don't. Yeah, that was a strike. That was a ball. And Sean brings up a good point. People forget they're looking at a 2D box in a 3D space, too.
Right.
Definitely. I mean, it definitely has its flaws. And
well, but then they do the 3D box where it shows the ball going through it.
I ordinarily, I'm all for more technology on stuff. But in this case, I'm like, you know, I could live without it. And I know that it's – and, yeah, the umps are the ones who want rid of it because it makes them look bad. But it's also, I mean, again, even the angles are just kind of, eh.
Yeah.
So, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. And as the nerd said, I feel like they used to only use the box on replay pitches when it was worth showing good movement, strikeout, etc. Yeah, do we need it there for everything?
I don't know. I don't think we do.
I'm a new baseball fan. The box helps me. I don't think of it as a guaranteed zone, though. There is leniency, but I like the box.
All right.
That's a vote for it. I don't know, because there's people that hate the first down line. I love the first down line.
Oh, I need the first down
line. Yeah, I can't live without that.
What am I going to do, watch the stupid sticks guys on the side? I don't have time for them. I'm trying to watch the play.
No.
That line is that's a godsend. That's the best invention ever.
Yeah, it's up there. It's right up there with the wheel and Jesus.
What happened to that? I remember for a while they were doing the lit up puck on hockey games.
Yeah, that
didn't go over well.
That
huh?
didn't go over well because, but I mean, watching hockey on TV, it is hard to follow the puck.
It is.
And I kind of like that a little bit, but.
You like that it's hard to follow?
No, I like that they had the.
Oh, the light up puck?
Yeah.
But then if you say that out loud amongst your hockey friends, you probably get booed out of
the
building.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right? It's like, oh, geez, you hoser. That's the worst thing ever. And I mean, and being able to see where the puck is, see where the pass is going. So that even when you're in the building, it's hard to see. And don't get me wrong, I love hockey, and I think it's a much better sport in person. But it would be better on TV if they brought that back. But they didn't ask me. Dustin says the main thing is the camera shot's never straight. It can't shoot through the picture. That's true. All
also
that's true.
True.
But the problem is there's so many people who think that's you know that's infallible.
Right.
Let's try a couple calls. Is that Bradley?
Hey now, Bradley.
What's up?
Hey, sports.
Sports to you.
You both kind of sound like the old man get off my lawn with not want the newfangled strike zone box up there a little bit.
I don't know that that's newfangled. They've tried it for a while. It's just, it's not that great.
Yeah, I think that one of the problems with it is that the camera angle sometimes is off to the side, and so a ball that looks like clearly outside you actually touched the edge of it. But anyway, that's not why I called in. I had it was Cole minus like 155 as a bet the other day, or when he was pitching against Scherzer, and then they scratched Scherzer after I made the bet. How is that normally handled? Because they actually didn't cancel my bet; they just changed the odds from like. I feel like the betting website and I agreed on odds, and then they changed them after the fact when Scherzer got scratched.
Okay,
and well, so like instead of minus 155, it jumped to minus 240.
Yeah, I don't know who your book is, but most actually, I think all of the sites that I use or have used, there's two options. You can either like so in if you don't click this button. It's starters must go for action is what
right,
it is.
Right.
And if you click that button, you're locked in at that price no matter what when you make the bet. If you don't click that button, typically the bet gets canceled altogether if neither starter pitches the first pitch for their team.
Right.
So
it's another
for
reason
them,
not to bet baseball.
For them to change the odds, again, I don't know who your book is. I don't like that. I would rather them just cancel the bet. But I'm not suddenly looking to pay $240 on something I was paying $1.50 on. That doesn't make much sense because especially as someone who doesn't, I don't bet favorites in baseball to begin with. But if I were, I damn sure wouldn't bet a $240 favorite ever in a million years. So I wouldn't want my money locked into that. That doesn't make any sense. That's not fair, honestly. Again, I don't know who your book is, but that doesn't seem right to me.
And you know. By the way, both get off your lawn guys want robots.
Yeah, I want a robot ump. How's that for newfangled? Give me that robot.
What the hell is all that writing up? I can't read that.
NHL is reportedly going to bring back the puck tracking starting this season. There's an article I sent you that Gary Bettman said they were going to try to bring it back.
Why didn't you just say that?
Because you were talking to a caller.
I mean, you could have waited.
I didn't want to interrupt.
I mean, you know how conversation works? You find an opening in the conversation?
Yeah, but what, are you sometimes new to this? It's up to you if you want to call back to it or not. We're moving on through more baseball robots.
Yeah, well, now, see, and now I'm sitting here staring at this trying to read it, which you know damn well I can't read that from this far away. I can barely read the names.
Oh, that's a bonehead play by Aaron.
Yeah. Now he's erasing it.
Let's go to Larry. Lawrence, hello.
Hello.
Sports.
Sports, what's going on, guys? I got a question. If the Astros win the game tonight, who you guys think will win the World Series MVP? All right, listen.
Okay, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I think it's still completely up in the air. I think there's a handful of guys that could win it if they had a big game. I think Springer's in that conversation. I think Altuve's probably in that conversation. I think that Robinson Chirinos is in that conversation. If it ends up going seven and Zach Greinke pitches well again, he could be in that conversation. I think there's a lot of guys right now, so it's really hard to break down to just one or two.
Even as much as he struggled, if Bregman hits another big home run tonight, I think he could. If Alvarez hits a game-winning home run, I think he's even sitting out some games. I just don't think there's any way to tell right now. I mean, Will Harris is a guy we talked about yesterday, depending on what situation he comes in.
Yeah, Will Harris has been really good.
So, but what is up with McInvale betting? He bet another $300K on the Astros.
I don't know. He's trying to squeeze that juice. Let him live, man. Let him bet his money. Well, pocket watching Mattress Mack.
Don't give me the let him do thing. I have no control over what he does.
He's dying, Fred. He's an old man.
Yeah, that's probably true.
He's just trying to get it. He's trying to let. They said you can't take it with you, Mac. And he said, you know what? Let it ride.
Yeah,
I like his style.
Okay. I find it interesting that he just keeps doubling down. It's funny when it looked like they were going to lose the series. I'm pretty sure that casino that he bet with was like, oh, this is great.
Oh, yeah.
3.5
Did he
million.
Put more down when they were down 2-0?
I think he did, yeah. I think he's just been firing and firing and firing the whole way here.
Good for him.
So
good for old Mattress Mac.
A32 says, hey, buddy, calm down. We need a traffic update from Bree.
Yeah, where's Bree? Well, I think we'll hear from her at 6 o'clock if we do hear from her.
Okay. Because by then you may be already in bad shape.
Yeah.
I do know there's a bunch of closings down there. And actually, if you go to cron.com, they've got a list of the closings.
I'm just not going to the game today, so I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, I'm not either, but I do want to know if it's going to affect...
Getting home?
Well, it won't affect me getting home.
Are you going home or are you going somewhere to watch the game?
I'm probably going home. I don't know. It's just, by the time I get home, even the places that I go that don't have many people... By game time, they're packed.
Does your Canadian bar, will they have the game on?
Oh, yeah, they'll have the game on.
Or will they have hockey on?
They'll have hockey, too, but they'll have the game on.
What'll be on the sound?
I'm sure the Astros.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I if I were to go anywhere, it'd be close to home because I don't, I'm going to have to do some work after the game if they win. I'm going to have to go in and get photos and post my story and all that stuff. So I'm not going to get too far from home. But the other thought is if I go to someplace down off St. Emmanuel, people go there before the game, and then they'll go to the game, and it'll clear out a little bit.
Yeah.
So I just don't know. It just kind of depends on how I feel when I get home.
All right.
Especially since, I'm not drinking any more of this whiskey. If I were drinking more of the whiskey, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm going somewhere, man. This is happening tonight. All right, 713-780-ESPN.
Talk about shaving.
I will, because I'm clean shaven today, and it's all thanks to Harry's. And, guys, humans have been shaving for over 5,000 years, and they used to use shark teeth, and then finally there was a copper razor. Well, it always comes down to one thing, sharp, durable blades. And guess what? That's what Harry's gives you. And they got a great offer just for you guys, a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just use code FAOUR at harrys.com. I've been using Harry's for a couple of years, and it's so I love the convenience. They show up right there in my mailbox. I love the quality of the shave, and I love the price. Quality, durable blades at just $2 per blade. And how about this? You get a full refund if you don't love your shave. So that $3, you can get the $3 back if you don't like it. That simple. Harry's has an amazing offer just for the Blitzers. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry with code FAOUR at harrys.com. That means you get a five-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code FAOUR at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today. Use code FAOUR at checkout to claim your offer.